The sermon I'm going to give today, it's a kind of a prelude to the Passover, more or less from a point of view of appreciating what we know. So I've entitled this, is a rather long title, but what do we know that the world does not know? What do we know that the world does not know? Now, first, let's notice 1 John 5 and verse 19. 1 John 5 and verse 19. And here's a statement that pretty well summarizes the condition of the world and our contrast to it. 1 John 5 and verse 19. We know that we are of God. So that's the first thing I want to emphasize here. What do we know that the world doesn't know? We know that we are of God. Now, there are very obvious ways to tell that. And then in contrast, the whole world lies in wickedness. So that's the difference between the two. Those who know God and those who are absolutely oblivious and living in a world today that is just wreaked with sin. Now, 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. And think in terms of this, of the Passover, we're going to be observing here soon, and in the days of unleavened bread, what these holy days are and what they depict, these are certainly things that the world does not know. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. So this is what we mean. We know God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. So again, not recognized by the world. Now in John 15, in the New Testament here, the Gospel of John, not the epistles, that is 1 John, or 2 or 3 John, but let's go to John the 15th chapter, and notice 16 and verse number 19. 15 and then 16 and 19. Now, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. So those who already are Christ and obeying and living him are regarded as his friends. For all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. So again, recognize the category that the true Christians who really understand the truth are placed in, as opposed to the world in general, and certainly to a good percentage of the people who regard themselves as Christians that have no idea what it really amounts to. And in John 8, verse number 9, John 8 and verse number 9, you are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So that again, notice the difference in the distinction. That doesn't mean, of course, that we're perfect by any means, but there's a big contrast and difference between those who really obey God or try their very best to obey God as opposed to those who are antagonistic or know nothing about it or make no effort. And 1 John 3, verses 9 and 10, 1 John 3, whoever has been begotten of God does not practice sin. That's a proper translation there. His seed remains in him, that is, of God's, and he is forbidden to practice sin because he has been begotten of God. And then notice this verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. So again, notice the difference here in the category. And then the last text here in this particular on this particular point here is 2 Timothy 2 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having his seal, the Lord knows those who are his. So that's the first category. We know we are of God. And that certainly is a tremendous blessing when you think in terms of the Passover and what it signifies and what it means. Now, the interesting thing occurred yesterday. These two Jehovah Witnesses girls came to our house, and as usual, my wife started talking to them. And she was really shocked to find out that they were inviting her and gave us a little brochure to attend their Passover service. And not only were they keeping a Passover service, but they had it on the right day. And so it illustrates, I guess there are some people who are coming to know it, but that's just one aspect if you understand that particular denomination, because they keep Sunday and everything else, most of what the world goes along with. There are a lot of things that they recognize, but they certainly don't recognize the importance of the law of God regarding the Sabbath and the holy days. Now, point number two. As I read here from 1 John 5, verse 19, the whole world lies in wickedness. Now, as I've stated many times before, people who are wicked don't think they're wicked. I was watching this crime story, this documentary the other day about this girl who was a first-class manipulator and calculating and could just win, wrap men around her little finger and get them to do anything they wanted. She wanted, and she'd been married 5 times, and she had convinced her second husband to kill her first husband. And, of course, they lured him to this farmhouse and then shot him and dug a big hole and buried him. And then she was being interviewed by the moderator, and this girl that was guilty of this and sent to prison for life as long as his husband of hers, he said, I'm not a bad person. I'm not the kind of person they call me a being. See, they don't want to admit. People who are wicked don't ever want to admit they're wicked. Generally, there are a few exceptions to the rule, but mostly that's the case. So remember what we read in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in wickedness. Now notice James 4 and verse number 4. James 4 and verse number 4. James 4 and verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity of God? You cannot be in the same groove, the same way of thinking. They have the same values, the same outlook and points that the world has. Because you just look at the changes that have taken place since this country was founded, and people back in those days were self-sacrificing and had a whole different viewpoint than what we have today, where people, they want to climb to the top regardless of how many people they hurt. So do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity of God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself the enemy of God. Now that's very straightforward, isn't it? Now 1 John 2, verse number 15. 1 John 2, verse number 15. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Why? Because the whole world lies in wickedness. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So that's the distinction. Now, when you stop and consider how many people regard themselves as being Christian and practice Christianity, they take the Passover with the grape juice. And for the bread, they take a little fish wafer. Little real round white fish wafer. And they'll do that every Sunday, or they'll do it quarterly, and they'll call it, they call it the Lord's Supper, but it's really what they'll call it, the Lord's Breakfast. Now, how many of them even have the slightest concept of what the meaning of the Passover is and what's required of each individual to take it properly? It's a matter of deciding you want to go take the Passover. It's a matter of have you met the conditions that the Bible requires. Otherwise, it's an utter waste of time. And that's a separate subject in itself. But Titus 2, verse number 12. Titus 2, verse number 12. If I can find it here. Here's what the grace is. We read here in verse number 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And what does it teach us? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Soberly, righteously, and godly. That's the difference between those who are part of the wicked system of the world and those who try to live a godly life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2. Colossians 3 and verse number 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That doesn't mean that everything that's on the earth is evil and wicked, but there are plenty that are. But if your whole interest in your orientation is physically inclined, then it's not going to be godly, and as a result, you know the consequences eventually what they will be. And Romans 12, verse number 2, this is a scripture we all have known or should certainly know very well. And so as we read here in verse number 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's a change takes place in the mind, and that's another one of the things that we know that the world doesn't know. Point number 3. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him. So we're dealing with two things here. He's given us an understanding, and number 2, that we may know him. Now stop and think of what your life was like before you understood the truth, before you knew anything about it. Did you really have an understanding of the Bible, and did you really know God? Well, that's another one of the great benefits of things that we understand and know. 1 John 5, verse number 20. 1 John 5 and verse 20. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. And you see that very distinctly when you find people who have no knowledge whatsoever about the truth, and they'll even get angry if you tell them anything. I received 3 different emails from this one lady, and I'm going to eventually get around here to reading some of them that fit into a sermon, all right, but she was just absolutely incensed with me, something awful, because she read this article, The Fruits of Immorality, and she said, you ought to be ashamed. How can you be so judgmental? You just tell them the truth, and you're judgmental. Yeah, and so, and she what really upset her, what made her angry, is that she was some kind of a missionary in China, and she said, you wouldn't last one day in China in missionary work. Well, who in the world is given the authority to do missionary work in China unless you decide to do it yourself? At the time that those people are going to receive the truth, it tells us very plainly in the book of Isaiah that after Christ returns, they're going to go and preach those who never even heard his name into the isles afar off and so forth. And what she's preaching is Christianity is, I guess, just Jesus Christ loves you. He's the Lord of the world, so love him and blah, blah. That's what it amounts to, basically that much. But what has made her so angry, the Chinese, I don't know what the reason is. They gave her she was pregnant, and they gave her some kind of a shot. And whether they required it of her or forced her, or, I don't know. But anyway, I don't even know she's Chinese. She's got sounds like a German name. But anyway, she had a partial miscarriage, and she was carrying around the rest of this baby in her. And she couldn't get help over there, so she came to the United States to be able to get this curettment and get this taken care of. And what made her so angry was that I had the unmeted gall to make her feel like she'd done anything sinful and wrong to bring that condition upon her. Well, that's for God to judge, not me. I'm just telling you the truth about it. And the fact is, she was just furious because I told her, I emailed her back, and I said, well, that's funny. If we're so judgmental, how come we got thousands of people listening all over the world, and we have an internet service that's worldwide, and they listen, people listen everywhere? And she said, well, that's just because you're dealing with a whole bunch of judgmental people just like you. So this is an example of what you get from these people. They're so misguided and so misled. And I ended up just having to laugh at it because it was so funny. It just shows you how totally oblivious she is of the truth. And if you tell them the truth, they just hate it. So as you see here in 1 John 5, verse number 20, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. And this is what this poor lady doesn't know. And then she said, that we may know him who is true, that we may know him. So the understanding allows us to know him. And that's another tremendous advantage of being able to understand and know the truth. One of the blessings of the things that we know that the world doesn't know. And 1 John 2, verse number 4. He who says, I know him. So here we go again. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. All kinds of people can claim that they know God, but the question is, are they really obeying the truth? Are they really keeping his commandments? Now, they don't know the difference between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New, because they're both the same. The only difference is the whole approach in the Old Testament period was totally different than what it is in the New. And I think we've pointed that out a number of times. But see, they ignore all those commandments in the Old Testament. They don't want to have a thing to do with them. And there's certainly enough in the New Testament to show they're in vague. They should be obeyed today, but they don't want to obey those because they got this concept that Christ is different from God, the Father of the Old Testament, and he was a cruel, vengeful God, but now they got a loving Savior. And all I do is have to obey his commandments. And they don't even know what his commandments are, in most cases. They'll say you shouldn't kill or you shouldn't covet and things like that, but they certainly will not say anything about the first four commandments. So as we see here then, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So that's the difference between someone that knows God and someone that doesn't. Now, going back to the book of John, that is not the epistle, but the actual gospel of John. And let's notice what we read here in verse number, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, because they did not have an understanding. It wasn't given to them at that time. And most of the people are left ignorant in this world because they won't be held accountable if they turn from the truth, which is in this evil world and that belongs to the devil. Many of them would. So they're really being done a favor until such a time as they will accept it happily. Now, in Matthew 11, verse number 27. See, we're talking about the Son of God is come, and he's given us an understanding. Now, we read here, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So we can certainly know him, and have an understanding that goes along with it. Now back to the Gospel of John once again, John 10 and verse number 27. John 10 and verse number 27. We read as follows. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So there are those who truly recognize the voice of God, the truth, and then respond to it. And John 18, verse number 37. John 18, verse number 37. Remember what happened here? Pilate said, "Are you a king?" And Jesus answered and said, "You have rightly said that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." That's right. He's given us an understanding. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 6, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 6, "It is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So he has given us the Son of God. We know that that the Son of God has come, and that he has given us an understanding. All right, the next point. We are in him, and that is true even in his Son, Jesus Christ. We're in him, that is true. In other words, he represents the truth totally. 1 John 5, verse 20. 1 John 5, verse 20. "We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding." I read that the first part, but let's notice now the second part. "That we may know him who is true, and that we are in him who is true." So we have a relationship and a fellowship with him because of the truth. And the truth is what is important. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5. "You, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." So again, you see, there's a distinction here between those who are given the truth and understand it and those who do not. 1 John 3, 19. 1 John 3, 19. By this we know that we are of the truth. What did we just read here? We are of him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. In John 8, verse number 47, back to the gospel once again here, and then we'll go back to 1 John. But let's notice the gospel here now in John 8, verse number 47. John 8, verse 47. "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you're not of God." Now, what did Jesus say about his words? He said his word was the truth. So those who hear the word are hearing the truth. And 1 John 4, verses 4 through 6. 1 John 4, verses 4 through 6. "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us." So what he's saying here very plainly is that they're speaking the truth, and those who are attuned to God will certainly accept it and recognize it very quickly. And 1 John 2, verse number 20. "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." You don't have to have somebody come along and try to convince you of something else. And then the last point here is, this is a true God and eternal life. So what we're looking at once again is the things that God has revealed to us that the world doesn't know. We recognize the true God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Here's what Paul said. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings and gospel according to the power of God, who saves us and calls us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolishes death and brought life and immortality through the gospel. What do we read here? Has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. And you have, of course, numerous false gods that appear from time to time. And then in 1 John 2, verses 24 and 25. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. What did you hear from the beginning? The thing that really struck you and made you realize it was the truth. That's what you should stick with. And in 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12, this is a testimony that God gives us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. So this is why we read here, this is a true God and eternal life. And Romans 8, verse number 1, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation. Well, there's no condemnation. What does that mean? That means that they can certainly look forward to eternal life in the kingdom of God. Colossians 1, verse number 25. Colossians 1, beginning here in verse number 25. He says he's a minister, and he's been given this stewardship to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to the saints, to his saints. So there you see. So there, once again, it emphasizes the importance of Christ. And as we're taking this Passover, this is exactly what it's all about. It's a commemoration of his death. And going back to Psalm 68, verse number 20, Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. So this is a true God and eternal life. Now that covers those 5 points that we need to be thinking about here as we're getting ready to take this Passover and being able to appreciate the understanding that we have been given, which certainly has not been given to the world. It doesn't make us more, let's say, more special, but it certainly makes us more responsible.